So we're back for another episode of My Biggest Lessons. I'm Chris Mead, your host. I'm here with Nick Hall, founder of Vitafive. What's going on, brother? How are you?
What's up, man? How are you?
Thanks for jumping on the pod. We've been friends for what? Maybe 2 years, give or take? Year and a half, 2 years now. Virtual LinkedIn friends, e-commerce friends.
That's right.
Honestly, the best vitamin gummies I've ever had in my life. I am addicted. It is a morning tradition for well too long. Thank you for creating an amazing product. For everybody who doesn't know what Vitafive is, walk us through it.
Yeah. So when we started the business, we've had quite a bit of transition throughout. We were a custom gummy vitamin pack. So you could pick and choose whichever vitamins you wanted. Transitioned that a little bit later into like a retail pack where we had an eco-friendly, just super delicious gummies. And then just recently, we just launched some low sugar gummy vitamins. So we hit all the specialty stuff from your sleep to your stress to immunity or anything in between.
So why you guys, right? Like there's been vitamins before you. Why did you want to get into the space and why was it important for you to kind of do something different?
The way that we looked at it whenever we first started the business was we loved the idea of Dollar Shave Club, but didn't like certain things. We wanted to be as necessary to a consumer as possible and without being just a want. And so I would say ours is right in the middle. Shaving is something that if you're going into an office, you have to shave. That was like ideal. But the price point was something that we didn't like on like a lifetime value, average order value, whatever it may be. We love the idea of vitamins because people are taking those on a daily basis. They're taking multiple of them. But if you look at the classic way of taking pills, people don't take them. Like the typical consumer is going to take them for 2 to 4 weeks and they're going to stop. So if you compare us to some of our competitors, our lifetime value blows them away. And it's not by, I mean, of course, yes, we do some things that are great for keeping a good lifetime value, but the basis of it is just the product. People love the product and they just continue to buy it.
Why do you think they stop after 2 to 4 weeks?
I think people just get lazy. They're like, I'm not seeing enough results right away. And that's typically with pills. You don't get any like reward. For us, we look at it and it's like, you get a treat for taking your vitamins, if you want to look at it that way.
It is kind of funny. I wake up and I crave the apple cider vinegar one, right? Like it's almost my French bulldog. Like I get up and I get out of bed, mm-hmm. I get my apple cider. It tastes good. And I'm like, all right, I did something good for myself today. So I could see that.
Yeah, exactly.
Sure.
Yeah. It's the instant gratification along with the longer term too.
So you started, it was first the custom packs, right? So just for anybody that doesn't know what a custom pack is, I'm dealing with XYZ, losing my hair. I'm feeling vitamin D deficient. I come to you guys, I build a custom pack on the website, right? Is that, I'm explaining
exactly.
it correctly?
Yeah. So you could go through and you could pick and choose whichever. We had 8 vitamins at the time. I'll tell you like the goods and the bads about it because I like just like super raw, really like good stuff myself. It's a great idea. It's an awful operational headache. And so there's a couple things with it. Like in this CPG world or just in starting a business in general, people go, oh, I love the idea or whatever. We actually just shut that part down of the business. And we had grown it substantially throughout the years. But the reason why we did was it's a massive cash game. You've got all these different products that you have to keep in stock, but it's got to be raw materials. And so it's a lot harder than it sounds, but it is super interesting.
It's so crazy. So was it in the early days, I'm assuming, you're packing the pills yourself or were you always at like a co-packer, whatever?
Yeah, we literally just got rid of it. So it's when we started, and in the supplement game, it's completely different than a lot of other spaces. We've got like super, people always talk about like, oh, vitamins aren't regulated by the FDA. Not regulated, but they do have regulations from the FDA as to how do you do it. So like food is not regulated, like they don't use that word, but they are still audited. They still have to follow FDA practices. Supplements are right between pharmaceuticals and food. So it's like super intense. So you don't even want to touch some of that stuff. So yeah, we did not use a co-packer for the first 5 years of the business. Then we jumped into a co-packer and kind of grew from there, but it allowed me to grow my business a lot more sustainably.
Cool. No, I love it. I've been following you guys. And I know now we're talking before the show a little bit, target distribution. What's the business look like now compared to what it looked like maybe 24 months ago?
So we grew from, started the business in 2016, first 6 months couldn't figure out how to get a sale to save our lives. Everything was D2C, we weren't going to go anywhere else, all the custom packs. Then after about 6 months, we went from 100 to over 4,000 recurring members, built it to multiple 7 figures, and then we hit this like tipping point. And this is something that a lot of people don't talk about in this space. But the reality is there's a cost per acquisition and there's lifetime value. And for us, our payback was 3-ish months to breaking even. Our customers stayed 10 months, which was great. on average. Now, we have customers to this day that have been with us for 6 years. And I'm not talking just like a little bit. Like, we have a lot of customers that have stayed with us for that long. The problem, though, becomes like a cash flow thing. So we hit this point where we could only grow at about 5 to 10 grand more a month. And so we were like, okay, do we go raise a bunch of money or do we go try to go more organically? So we decided to go retail. Went retail 2019. And so going back to like 2 years ago or whatever, yeah, we were like, we've got to diversify the channels because there's only so much that we can grow here at the amount of like capital that we have. And so we went retail and went 0 to 7,000 doors within like just over 2 years. Now I'll say there was half of them that were amazing doors like Target, HEB, Hy-Vee. And there were some other ones like your drug channel are just not going to bring in the kind of revenue. They're going to bring back a lot more chargebacks, a lot more operational headaches. So we saw some really good stuff there. And then we launched Amazon. We had been on Amazon for a while, but I personally launched Amazon in early 2021. And we grew from 20 to 80,000, 87,000 within like 3 months. And saw just like ridiculous growth there. And so, I mean, we all know that like this game has changed completely. Like if you came into the CPG world in late 2021, we know that like you didn't know anything better, right? It's like, oh, well, Facebook just as expensive. But like before we were getting like really good acquisition costs and scaling like crazy. So
that's crazy, dude. So now we look at the business, has DTC taken such a drastic hit and it's like all focused in wholesale, or what's kind of your thoughts there?
I have two main areas. So again, we raised $600,000 back in 2015. Another 200,000 in 2017. We have not raised money since. So when we launched retail, we used all of the funding from D2C to fund retail. And I have like three main places that I'm like actively spending money. Of course, I want to increase my D2C where I can, but the places that I've seen what I call like the best efficiency of a dollar is Amazon and retail, but the right retail partners at that. So I've got a big focus on Target. We just launched our low sugar gummies into Target. HEB is a super strong partner, and I've got a couple other retailers that I'm super gung-ho about, and we invest really heavily there, but we can make a profit on it, which is kind of a low standard, but it's a real standard
to
look
important.
At.
Yeah,
no, exactly.
Absolutely. So what makes a good partner and a bad partner in your eyes? I know when I started CrossNet, I was like, dude, you want to sell CrossNet? Take it. And
totally.
I found that over time. Yeah. So now looking back, like what's a good partner? What's a bad partner? What do they need to bring to the table?
Yeah. I think if I'm going out and just saying like just blanket statement, I would say stay away from drug. I think drug is selling more than you are selling them. And they will charge you like crazy for shelf fees, chargebacks, everything. So those are always like tough. When you look at the CPG world, I've been told that there's two companies that can help build your brand. Target and Whole Foods. All the other ones, you're pretty much paying to be on shelf. And that this is, when I say CPG, I more mean like food, beverage, stuff like that. You've got those two. The other ones are just ways that you can pay to be on shelf and still get sales. It's not to say you're not going to make money through the other ones. Big part of the business is Costco. They'll do something like $300 million in Costco alone. And I'm like, that's incredible. And they were able to build a brand. But like, if you look at it as a generic, those are two that are like just really, really solid. I think it also depends on the product. Obviously, if you like a super natural product that is a bit overpriced, don't go to your Kroger's, Albertsons, whatever. I also don't think that store count matters. I can launch a new product and guaranteed in 30 days, I'll do more revenue than I'll do in 2,000 CVSs per week, which is freaking wild. But I'll actually get paid from Amazon.
It's so true. And you'll get your money. You'll get your money super quick too. That's crazy. Yeah. I see the same thing for CrossNet too. It's like, as much as we want to expand door counts, every meeting we're pitching new buyers, like new products, getting it on Amazon is the number one priority because that's where our shoppers are. That's where they see new products. And like, I get paid in 2 weeks instead of having to wait 90 days.
Totally. And if you want to take a hit, you can get paid tomorrow.
Exactly. Exactly. And we just had one of our accounts, actually, I won't name drop, but just went bankrupt. So I'm not going to make $30,000. They have $30,000 worth of inventory. I'm not even going to get that check. It's just going to be an L.
It's very typical. My brother works in the bankruptcy or used to work in the bankruptcy world and worked through the GNC. Okay. I've got some good friends that had massive POs with them. And I mean, the internal conversation when these companies are going bankrupt and it's a hard business for them too, they just go, eh. We're not gonna get payment unless they've really complained enough. And you're like, what? And you're just not gonna pay? But it's a real thing.
And it cripples some businesses, dude. Like I need the 30K, but I don't need it to the point where like the lights are going off. So like
totally,
I could only imagine.
It's totally wild. Is.
You're in a super crowded space. That's pretty blunt and obvious. How are you You get into the Target shelves. What the hell are you doing differently compared to the other larger, like, you guys are a small fish in a large pond compared to the multi-billion dollar companies. Like, how do you get your guys' stuff to stand out? Any advice for somebody starting a brand?
Yeah, so we go through, and I like, this is an example I had. I've had a couple of investors come to me and say, hey, what's your thoughts on this company? And it's within the vitamin supplement space. So obviously there's certain trends that we're hitting, right? We're hitting the gummies. Gummies have been continually growing. It's been a high growth, really good, sustainable. I've got good shelf life, all this stuff, right? Like, everything functionally works really well. The product is really good, all that stuff. But where I start is a little bit different. So where most people, and I think this is important too, where they go through the five P's, right? Your product, price, promotion, blah, 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 right? That's super important. I also add in a step of the five senses, especially in, like, when I say CPG, I'm talking more food and beverage again, is the first thing that you're going to do is you're going to see it. So, like, with this product, is this something that is going to stick off shelves? There's a lot of, like, science that I've put into the different packaging. So for those that are just listening on the podcast, our product, low sugar gummies, the one that I'm holding up is a elderberry. We keep it at the, like, elderberry colors. People know that it's kind of like this purple-ish color. Sleep is consistently purple. Okay, so the first thing is sight. The second thing is going to be smell, right? So this is an order. If someone opens up this package and smells like shit, cool, I got them to buy, they're never going to buy again. They don't even want to try it. The third thing is taste. If you don't have those three things, you might as well not even be in business, because whether you get the first sale or not, everything, in my opinion, is all about lifetime value. I don't care if you've got a lawn mowing business or you've got a gummy vitamin business. It all is, like, how often can you get people to continually retake your stuff? And then you've got, this one's a little bit over the top, but it's like hearing, right? Like, if you hear a crunch in your gummy, you're never coming back. And the last one that we always put in there is, like, the emotion, right? You always want to have some sort of emotion. With you, with what you guys are selling, you guys are just selling, like, a great time with your friends, right?
Yeah.
And you guys can probably say it a lot better than I. But for us, for our emotion that we're selling, you get to actually sleep through the night. Oh, you feel better within a number of days of taking our, I mean, like, each one has a specific thing. So that's kind of the way that we look at it.
I love it. That'd be a great listicle LinkedIn post, man. That would be awesome.
Right? Yeah.
That would slap. But yeah, dude, that's such a cool way to think about it. I don't even know if I think about CrossNet in that way. It's just like, we're selling a great time to our friends, but I love how much thought you've put into each phase, and it makes a lot of sense. And you're right. If I bite into my gummy and there's a crunch, I'm never buying ever again. There's no shot.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'll tell you one thing that we did wrong, which I respect a lot of the recent Sean from Dude Wipes. He's someone that I've looked up to. You're someone that I've looked up to for a very long time. And one of the reasons why, and I think that this is, like, very, very, very critical to a lot of people that are either bootstrapped, don't have a lot of money, or don't want to blow a lot of money, is, like, one product, super concentrated, really hardcore. Because I'll tell you what has almost put us out of business a number of times is launching a ton of products. And I use this one example. I think it's really, really useful. If you have $100,000 you're going to put into a product, you can put it into one or 10. Okay. My product, it cost me $15,000 to come to market. That's no marketing cost. If I launch five products, I've got $75,000 into it, and I only have $5,000 per product to market it. If I launch one, $15,000, I have $85,000 to market it. I can almost guarantee I can be successful with $85,000. I can almost guarantee I won't be successful with five.
Dude, I love that. That's math one. It's just simple math that makes a lot of sense. But I've experienced the same thing. My biggest thing for so long is, like, how are we going to increase LTV? We're selling one product. Hopefully you don't need to buy another one for 2 or 3 years until you break it or lose it or whatever, or give it away. We put out 7 or 8 products in the last 12 months, and I'm getting emails from my teams being like, yo, this one product is just not moving. And it's like, no shit. We're not putting any marketing spend behind it. We're not putting any awareness. We're not creating content, because all my cash is tied up in the 6 other products that we just had to force out.
Exactly.
So that if I had a biggest lesson for today, is just, like, go slow. Like, there's always going to be time. We're building a company for 10 years, not for one more month. Go slow. One product every 4 months, or one product every 6 months, instead of trying to drop 10 at the same time.
100%. I had someone tell me that early in business, and I was like, okay, well, I don't know why you told me that. And I just did the other way. And I'm like, oh, that was stupid. There goes my cash.
Dude, for real. Yeah. Now we're trying to fulfill all these different orders, and it's frustrating. And a retailer just ordered yesterday. They put in a product that they put in a buy for, like, our worst selling product. But now we have to go restock this worst selling product because the person wants it. So it's like,
exactly. It makes it tough.
Do you Yeah. Do you care if they buy it retail or direct to consumer, especially like with your LTV thing, right? Like obviously you could track if they're a Shopify consumer and probably could track to an extent if they're an Amazon purchaser. I'm sure data's a little bit harder. Sure. Do you care where they're buying from?
Honestly, I don't. Brandon Cohen with Liquid IV has said, I don't care where people buy, I just want them to buy. And I'm in a similar spot. Obviously, there's certain things, like if you are D2C, I can retarget you substantially better than in another way. But I am a big believer in, like, if you have a good enough product that people love, they will share it. Like, I'll tell you right now, I have had product that we've launched and I don't pick it up. I have it on my counter and I won't pick it up because I'm like, eh, it's fine. It's fine, but it's still a chore for me to take. We have some new product that just came in, some of this new low sugar stuff. And my wife and I no joke, I think that we probably go through a bottle a week. And so that meaning address, like, we're taking like three or four. What's that?
You got my shipping address, right?
Yeah, exactly. I need to send it. I don't know if you've gotten the low sugar, I would get you some out.
I need to try it. That's sick. Yeah, right. Dude, it's so right though. I remember having I have the melatonin at my house. Me and my girl, we pop them every night before bed. And then I always keep a bag in my backpack. So whenever I'm like flying or with like the team, I'm the melatonin dealer at the house. It's funny.
That's amazing. Yep. Yeah. That's awesome.
Dude, word of mouth is everything. And just getting them back to your site is like the most important thing. And just having the loyal customers. It's got to be such an interesting complex of like, we spend now, we're without the cash for about, you said 3 months, right? And then it starts to become cash flow positive. That's got to change per each SKU though, right? Like what's your average order value right now?
Oh gosh, ours is like $40. Ours is really low on our site, but we're selling a $13 product. So now with our custom pack, and we could do this again with like your custom builder on the site, when you create something where like they can just plus, our average order value was substantially higher. And our average consumer was buying 4.5 products. We only allowed them to buy 5 because that's all they could fit in a single bag. So point being is people will continue to add and they're like, oh yeah, I also need this. I also need this. So that was really interesting.
I love it. Any ways you're spending money on marketing now? Because I know before with the show, we were talking about kind of slashing some Facebook spend. Any places you're moving your money that you're like, shit, I wish I would have done that 12 months ago?
I think Amazon's like the biggest thing. Amazon, if done correctly, it has just so much good return. If you look at a lot of these companies, like HiQ specifically, obviously AJ's an absolute master at Amazon, but he'll launch on Amazon, build up a massive customer base, then go out to Target and all these other ones. I think that's probably my best. And again, that's so broad. I just think that that's probably like my most efficient dollars spent. I do that. And then I don't have a ridiculous amount of funding. So if someone has a ton of funding, they like to spend other places. But that's been like our best ROI that we can track. And then obviously like retail, there's discounts, a couple other things. I always like doing creative marketing in different ways that other people don't. So for example, when we go into stores, people talk about how one way to increase velocities is to have what's called IRCs. Instant redeemable coupons, right? So you'll have like on our bottle, you'll have like a little hang tag, right? Or you'll have a sticker or whatever it may be. Why keep it at that? Why would you only keep it with discounts? People associate an IRC with a coupon. It will get people to pick it up. If you look at Orgain has grown, I think that they sold for something like $2 billion or something. And they've got them on every package. It costs 6 cents to put it on your package and it's going to get people to pick it up. It's not a coupon. It's just giving them information, but I guarantee people pick it up because of stuff like that. So we're always looking through things like that. How do we associate QR codes to get people's phone numbers, emails, whatever it may be, and then just like bring them in and try to, you know, retarget them the best that we can.
Love it. It's such a science. And you're so right about the Amazon dollars. We're doing the same thing over here. I'm seeing like our ROAS on Amazon daily is about an 8, which is the sweet spot.
That's
super profitable.
Yeah.
But we're seeing our Shopify Facebook like ROAS is a 2 to a 3 on a daily basis. My sweet spot is 4. So we blend all the money in every day.
Okay.
It's like, how much more can I pump into Shopify that I know that they're like top of funnel, that I know that I'm going to get them over to Amazon without losing the profitability of the business? It's just a balance game.
Exactly. And honestly, most people, unfortunately, you've got a really high average order value, I'm sure. Yeah. But I know a lot of people with cheaper products, like in the grocery store, they can't even, I mean, they'd be lucky to get 1x ROAS at this point. So
yeah, for sure. It's definitely a blessing and a curse. Grass is always greener for every industry.
It totally is.
All right, Nick, last question for you. Same question every time. What is your biggest lesson? Looking back, you've been in business for about several years, a lot of ups and downs, a lot of new products, a lot of retail, a lot of iOS changes. What are some things that you look back and you're like, damn, I wish I would have known, or you're going to take for the future business?
I think there's two big parts that I'd like to give here. The first one is more faith-based, and the second one is a little bit more tactical. First one I'll just say is, like, business is going to be tough. If you catch Chris, myself, any of these other people that have done well or not, and you catch us on a bad day, you'll see that, like, there is a ton of hard things. Now, the great days obviously outweigh the bad days. But I'll tell you, for myself, like being a Christian, one of the things that I've adopted personally is trying to create the greatest good for the longest term. And the reason why that came out was I had a friend that died at 24, a friend's mom who died at 54 to suicide, and someone that died at 84. And the point is, we don't know when we're going to go. And so to me, having faith is a very, like, centered thing in my life has really pushed me to go through everything with Vita 5. And then the second thing that I'll say is similar to what we talked about earlier, is I think that if for those that are getting started or those that are trying to grow, I think the biggest thing is digging in really, really deep rather than wide onto either a single product or a single area and making sure that it is one of the best things. One thing I would say, if you were looking at gummy vitamins, is maybe going into something like a stress and just going super, super deep rather than trying to hit 15 different products. So if you can do that, I think that you can be really, really effective and scale significantly.
I love that. It's so true, man. Like, there's so many days where I've gone to bed crying at night, right? Like, just miserable, yeah. Not knowing what the future is going to hold. And you wake up the next day, you start over, and you get through it. And then you know, exactly, there's going to be another uphill battle in a week from now. But that's just the life of an entrepreneur. We're blessed to be able to take a podcast at 11 o'clock in the morning, right? Like,
yeah,
we're doing all right. So I appreciate that. You definitely put things into perspective. If you haven't tried Vita 5, I swear they are the best gummies I've ever had in my life. I would happily eat them for the rest of my life. Thank you so much for making an awesome product, and we'll talk soon.
Awesome. Appreciate it, Chris. Good chatting.
Thanks, bro. Peace. So that's another episode of My Biggest Lessons. Each and every week, I'll be having one of my favorite entrepreneurs come on, share their stories, their mistakes, the things they wish they knew. Entrepreneurship's a lonely road, right? You only learn by getting better. You only learn by making mistakes. So I want them to come on and share their stories. If you have somebody in mind that you want on, drop a comment, subscribe, share with a friend. Let's get the best people in the world on here. Thanks for listening.